And they all ran to the door screaming, "No!" Thank you very much, Doctor. Like I mentioned this last time, what happens? Why is it white? It has nothing to do with the snow outside. White Sundays always are when God is revealed. Today, God is revealed. And the Transfiguration Sunday is this wonderful culmination of the season we were just in, which was Epiphany. Where, who is this baby that was in the manger? He's revered throughout the world. But why? The great wisdom that he brought, the message of peace and joy, and that God loves you. You hear that pretty much every Sunday, which is a good thing. God loves you. How do I know? He died on the cross. He died on the cross. And so that's what God has done. But at the beginning, at the birth of Jesus, we don't know who he is. I know the angels came and say, "Glory to God on the highest, and peace and goodwill to those with whom God is pleased." But these last six Sundays have been Jesus pretty much not showing who he is, but more giving information to us about our life. And again, here's where I get really boring, if I haven't been boring already, which is, the first one is Jesus' baptism. That Jesus, in a sense, is drowned and he dies so that his own will doesn't happen, but the will of the Father. Now, anyone here been baptized? No, none of you? Okay, so we're going to... Anyone here been baptized?
Yes.
I didn't see any hands there, Dave. Okay. I'm a pushy one, aren't I? I'm sorry. See, Jesus' baptism also means our baptism. We don't live for ourselves. We now live for God. Because he's the one who raises us from the dead. He's the one who is the source of our life and our joy. And our baptism means that God says to you, "You are my beloved child. In you I am well pleased." And so the next Sunday was about the calling of Peter and Andrew and James and John. What's your job now? Same as theirs. You are fishers of people. You gather them either by hooking them in. You ever hook someone into doing something they don't want to do? What are you doing next Tuesday? Nothing? Okay, so you'll be, shoveling the driveway. Something. You can do either by hook or by the net. Let's all go together. Let's bring in a crowd so that we can celebrate this God who loves us. That's your job. And then God says in the next Sunday, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you when you get a diagnosis that is terminal." What? Remember all those Beatitudes? It's God pointing you away from the things of this world to what it really matters. It matters that your heart, your life, is just full of that love that God has planted into you, so that when bad news happens, you take that bad news and you become a conduit of support and love to others. It's only the hard-hearted that can't cry for others. There's enough evidence in this world about people being hard-hearted, and usually those are the successful ones, right? God's making you new creatures. Blessed are you. You will be called a peacemaker. You will see God when all this bad stuff happens to you, because your hope is not in what this world brings to you, but eternal life, and that God changes you inside. So who do you become? You become what was said last Sunday. You are the light of the world. I hope you have many experiences where you tell someone who's not expecting it, "You make me happy." You ever do that to someone? "You make me happy," and they go, "Oh, rats." No. "You're the salt of the earth." And back in the Roman times, salt is how you got paid. "You're the wealth of the earth. You're the what seasons the world." Okay, now today's sermon. Transfiguration is that question. All right, Jesus told me all this stuff, but who are you, Jesus? Who is it? Peter. And remember, when you read about Peter in the Gospels, Peter is the church. Peter, the church sees who Jesus really is. His face begins to glow. Kids, don't listen to this. As a kid, sometimes I would look at the sun. Did you ever do that? I wear glasses. But imagine someone beginning to glow like the sun. It's not natural. It's supernatural. And that's something I hope this church never loses, that you always keep your eyes on, that we are involved in a natural world and that we are also involved in a supernatural one, where miracles that scientifically shouldn't happen, happen because God intervenes. And Peter, the church, and James, and John, the one who loves Jesus. You're the guys, you're the women and men who love Jesus, yes? You see Jesus, who he really is. Not another Buddha, though that's wonderful. Not another peacemaker, but the one who is God. I want to reinforce in your heart that the living God has come to you. And so we have now branched that Christmas event of the birth of this baby. One who has told us what life is all about, to see that this is God who so chose each one of you to be his own children. So whatever is bothering you this week, whatever is tearing you down, I'm sorry, am I yelling at you? Because you are so much a blessing to this world. You have been wonderful to me and to Nancy and our kids. Been a joy and delight. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. So come celebrate. That's what Sunday is about. Of course, as a kid, a Sunday meant, oh, I gotta go to church again. You know, God's great practical joke. He made me a pastor, so I gotta be in church every Sunday. And then I found out that's where real life is. And that real life, it's forgiven. Sometimes I'm at a funeral, especially when I was in a parish, I'd ask the bereaved, "How do you know this person, the deceased?" "Well, they're a good person. And then they go to heaven because they were good." And they say, "Well, and I believe." In my more rotten moments, I would go, "Yeah, but Satan believes in Jesus too." But does Satan forgive? People forgive. That's the sign of the transfiguration. That you are changed from this normal world into a supernatural one where you know that you have the power to forgive sins. I'm going to jump several months. Isn't that what Jesus says when he comes back from the dead? His first thing is, you've just seen someone who is dead standing there among you. The 12 disciples, 11 disciples. "Peace be with you." And it would be really neat to see some of the folks that have recently died in the last year in this church walk through that door. What would you do if that happened? Jesus would have to say, "Peace be with you." And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. That's your power. It's a supernatural one. And so now, this ends the season of Epiphany. That you have seen that God is real. That Jesus is God with all his power and his glory. And we're not just playing church and doing something to make us a little more moral and nice. But we see that God is entered our life. And God is using us to glorify others. So now we walk into Lent. What's Lent? It's springtime. Where you get rid of the stuff that will hold you back. That's how we begin Lent this coming Wednesday. Your sins are forgiven. You're the people of God. And joy overflows through your heart. I hope it does. Because that is the truth. You are forgiven of your sins. You are new creatures every morning. And whether people around you see that you are new and fresh and delightful, God does. And that's what Peter and James and John saw. I should probably stop now, I think. Nancy, you should be going. One more thing. Notice what Peter, the church, does. Jesus, let's make a shrine. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. That's what we do. Not that it's bad to do that in America, but think of all the memorials and all the things that are shrines. Jesus says, no, go back down and be the person that you have been promised to be. But we like building shrines. You're a temple of God. Now build up the others, because your eternal life is guaranteed by this one who shines like the sun and who is in your heart. Amen.